Whoa, what was that?
Blog Talk Radio.
The recording has stopped.
Welcome to All About Wine, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery.
Labels themselves, they become an art form.
We encourage listeners, wine enthusiasts, and winemakers to call the show and discuss topics related to wine.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery.
Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
So, Alabama.
And now, from Florida Estates Winery, Ron.
Yes, they're all excited, and they are frozen. We are up here in Grayling, Michigan, which is right on I-75 between Traverse City and not Traverse City. What is it? Huron National Forest. And it is 27 degrees right now, partly cloudy, and we are expecting, it's got a little bit of flurries now, and tomorrow we're looking at ice and snow as well. And it's going to go down into the low teens and 12 degrees for the low on Sunday. Needless to say, I didn't find a lot of wineries.
No.
I mean, in this particular area, but this is where the GPS and the nautical aviation, everything takes us on our autopilot. So that's how we were set up, and so we landed at Grayling, and here we are. And it's the wrong city.
It's still Michigan. Yeah.
It's at our listeners' expense, and we're just here to please them, and here we are. So how are things down in Florida?
Things are beautiful down here in Florida. We had a high today of just shy of 80 degrees and beautiful clear skies, a little bit of a wind. We're supposed to get some rain, I think, Sunday, but
Sunday.
Until then, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, wonderful. And tonight, for those of you just joining us, we are continuing on with Michigan, and Ron's going to start that up. But we do have a lot of listeners out there. I've been checking the statistics. A lot of people listening to us on the archives. That's great. We'd love to have you listen, although you are getting a few extra minute or two on the end of the show. That we found out.
We discovered, yeah.
Maybe that's why some of the shows have gotten more than 500 people, because they're like, hey, you got to check this out. They're really going nuts on the end of it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. But, yeah. Welcome to the show. And anyway, like to say hi and everything. And here we go with Michigan, which we kind of started last week, I guess.
We did part two of Massachusetts. Yes, Massachusetts.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's when we had
Rob on the line from Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery. So I got that on there. Good deal. It was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show. Very informative too. Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yes. So tonight we will start up, I guess, the main part of Michigan.
We covered a little bit last week on Michigan, for a few minutes before we close it out. But let me go into some more of Michigan, and we'll talk about Michigan tonight. I called some wineries again and talked to some people. No one's joining us tonight, though. It seems like people were busy Thursday night. It was quite interesting when I did Massachusetts. The wineries up there seemed to close down in the winter. Our shorten hours are... but Michigan, and just as cold, just as snowy, if not more so in some areas and all that, seemed to embrace the winter. Most of the wineries I looked at, the hours were until 8 o'clock and some until 7. A few of them closed at 6, but a lot of them in the wintertime had full hours throughout the winter. So that's... I know. It just really surprised me. I talked to one winery, and I'll get into it a little bit more in a little bit here, but Lori Stabil at Mackinac Trail Winery. I asked her about the weather up there, and Mackinac Trail Winery is in the Northern Peninsula. And I'll also go into the state a little bit in a second here. But she said that the winters are usually don't get below zero up there because of the big influence of the water all around the state. And in the summer, she said, usually hit in the upper 80s or so, and that's about it, again, because of the influence of the water. So the water in Michigan has a lot of influence on the state as far as temperature goes and everything, and it will also affect the growing of the grapes. So just an interesting thing there. We go back to Michigan a little bit here. I talked about it a little bit last week. Let me go over it again. The state of Michigan, it is divided into two parts, the Upper Peninsula and the Lower Peninsula. Detroit is probably the most famous city that we know of in Michigan. That's the car city and the one that most people are probably more familiar with, although they're Lansing being the state capital, which is in the southern peninsula, just west of Detroit. Grand Rapids, Traverse City, a lot of these places we've heard of, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek. Battle Creek is the, that's where you should have set the plane to for Battle Creek, where the cereal is made. That would have
been. Battle Creek?
Yeah, Battle Creek, Michigan. That's where Kellogg's is from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. In fact, years ago, that used to be their tagline on the end of their advertisements, Battle Creek, Michigan. You know, so that's where Kellogg's is.
Well, if they have an airport and we continue next week, I'll call in from there.
Yeah, there you go. Just go down. Maybe you can tell us about some cereal or something.
No,
can't. This is all about wine. most of the stuff, southern state, that's the southern peninsula. That's where you're going to find everything. There are 83 counties in Michigan, all of them pretty much just in rows and squares down at the bottom, with the northern peninsula a little bit more odd shaped and a little bit more different shapes of counties. And that's basically because it is an odd shaped peninsula up there. So it's, you're going to see the difference there. A couple of islands, a county that is an island between the northern and southern peninsula, Charlevoix, I believe it's pronounced island. Keweenaw Island, Keweenaw County has divided up into the peninsula and the upper peninsula and an island on out from there. So that's interesting the way they divide that stuff up. The highways, I-75, that's Mike's right off of I-75 now. 96, 69, these are all interstate. 96 interstate, I-69, I-94, most of them down in the southern part of the state, out of Detroit. Detroit, I mentioned this last week. It's always interesting to bring up the point that Detroit is the only major city in this country that is actually above a foreign country. Canada is, and Windsor, Canada, is south of Detroit. The way the country is shaped and the way it comes in, Windsor, you actually travel south out of Detroit across the river and into Canada. So it is north of north of another country. Elevation. The higher elevation is up in the northern peninsula. The lower elevation basically stays right around 300 to 1,200 feet. It's not a real high elevation in the southern part of the state. Northern part of the state and to the west of the northern part of the state, northern peninsula, is where the higher elevations are, higher altitude. Sea level. It is not sea level, actually. It's lake level. Lake Erie is the lowest part in the state. I mentioned this last week. I thought it was quite interesting. Lake Erie is 571 feet above sea level. So it's not really sea level. It drops from Lake Erie down to the sea level, 571 feet. That is the lowest point. The highest point in the state jumps all the way up to almost 2,000 feet, 1,979 feet. Actually, it's... Mount Arvon, A-R-V-O-N. It's in the northern peninsula, northwestern peninsula. A lot of rivers running through Michigan, both the northern peninsula and the southern peninsula. Just a wet area there. Big influence from the lakes all around it. Saginaw Bay to the west, that runs off of Lake Huron. Lake Erie is to the southeast. Lake Huron is south, is to the west. Lake Michigan is to the Lake Huron to the west. It's actually to the east. Lake Michigan due west. The connection Straits of Mackinac run between the northern peninsula and the southern peninsula. And a lot of wineries up in Mackinac County in that area there, just across in northern area. They've expanded to like six of them. The winery of Mackinac Trail Winery, Raphael and Lori Stable are the ones who own and operate that. Actually, they have three locations, three different tasting rooms throughout the state. And Lori said they are working on opening up another one yet now. So they'll have four tasting rooms off the state. But the one that they started was up in the Northern Peninsula, and that is the one in in the Northern Peninsula. There are now six in the Northern Peninsula, six wineries. Cities of Michigan, I had to check and be sure I was still online here. I checked that periodically. The cities throughout Michigan, like Mike just said, he's in Grayling, Michigan, which is just about north central state, almost due west or due east of Traverse City. The northern part of the state, the northern peninsula, has a few speckled cities throughout it, not a lot. Southern part, obviously, a lot more. With, as I mentioned, Detroit being the biggest, Lansing the capital, and most of the wineries being situated on the water, around the shores of the water in the northern and southern part and around the state that way, simply because that's the influence from the water makes a big, big difference. The state of Michigan, to give you a little bit more background, is 22nd largest state in the nation. It is bounded by Lake Michigan and Wisconsin on the west, bordered by Lake Huron and the Canadian province of Ontario on the northeast, and by Ohio on the southeast. And Lake Superior lies to Michigan's northwest, and the state of Indiana is to the southwest. It is in the upper corner, Midwest, northwest corner of the middle part of the state with all the lakes around it. Land area, 56,804 square miles or 147,122 square kilometers for anyone who goes by the kilometers. It is a Michigan, the name Michigan is derived from the Native Indian word Michigana, which means Great Lake. So it all falls into place. The sandy beaches on the western Lake Michigan shore, swamplands to the northeast, low mountains to the west on the northern peninsula, and again, lakes throughout the state. A lot of tourism in Michigan, very popular state for tourists. In fact, a lot of the wineries that are located there count on a lot of tourists coming through the state, and because of that, there are a lot of wineries in the state. When I talked to Mackinac Trail Winery, Lori told me she pulled out the book of the latest count: 71 wineries in Michigan.
Wow.
That is wineries. A lot of them have two or three locations. So not only are there 71 individual wineries, but there are some that have two or three locations. Most of the wineries you will find in Michigan are along the Lake Michigan shore, the western part of the state, although there is a lot of them clustered down in the south area, and just due west of Detroit, that area there. One winery that is up in the central north area of the Southern Peninsula is Rose Valley Winery. And Rose Valley Winery is actually not too far from where you are right now, Mike. It is.
Yay!
Yeah, you didn't get too far away from one.
Finally, okay.
Yeah, Rose City, Michigan is not just a little bit east of where you are there, though. So that's so you were redeemed a little bit there. Rose Valley Winery. Let me tell you a little bit, since that is up by itself there, located in the central part of the state, east central part of the state, by itself. It is. What a cool website. You go onto the website, and it has an old gate that opens up a door and shows you the vineyard, and then it shows you might hear the water or the wine.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, that's on their website also. That's cool. That's a pretty cool interactive website. It says scroll, but I don't know what I'm scrolling on. I guess the wine's here. Oh, I see how they do this. There's another one. Rose Valley Winery. Some of the wines that they have here, the Rydell is a Winter's Trail wine. Is a fruity wine, hint of spice for fireplace. Cold day. It's a red table wine. That's about all it says on it. It's a red table wine. They have an apple wine. Michigan actually is the leading state in the nation for fruit wines. I read a couple of three different places that kept on talking about Michigan being the leading state for fruit wines. And so you find an awful lot of fruit wines there, but you also find an awful lot of other wines there too, grape wines. I was really amazed about the amount of grapes and the variety of grapes that is grown in Michigan, especially considering the climate. You would almost expect it to be not conducive of some of them, but it is. They have a full-bodied red wine called Rifle River Red, which is actually sold out at the time. They have a Clear Lake White made with the Edelweiss grape. A light fruity wine. Edelweiss is a good grape. I've had those in the past. They also make a Cayuga white wine, which is a little bit sweeter style. A dry red made with 80% Chancellor, 20% Cabernet Sauvignon. A nice combination there. Semi-dry red made with 70% Chancellor, 20% Steuben, and 10% Niagara, which I'm sure would give it a hint of sweetness. Well, semi-dry, so that would. Then they have, which is interesting here, they call that the semi-dry red. Then they have a semi-sweet red, which is made with 70% Chancellor, 25% Steuben, and 5% Niagara, with a hint of sweetness in it. A sweet red, 67% Chambortian, 12% Niagara, 12% Steuben, and 9% Chancellor, a dessert wine. They have a dry white made with 100% Cayuga, a New York state wine, grapes getting from New York. Also a semi-dry white, 80% Cayuga and 20% Steuben. And then a semi-sweet white, 50% Niagara, Steuben, Diamond, and Aurora. All are part of that one. And then a sweet white, which is a combination of Niagara and Edelweiss. And then Edelweiss dry. And then back to their original here. The grapes that they have, a variety of grapes, and this is one of the reasons why I really wanted to go into this site, is they show and tell about some of the grapes that they have that they're growing there. The St. Pippin is a hybrid variety of the wine grape, grown mostly in North America. It's likes for a fruity white wine, similar. They compare it to a Riesling here. They said it's a lot, but it's used as a base for blends. Also is good for a table grape, a sweet seeded table grape, so it has seeds in it. Early ripening, and it is hardened and ready to be picked in the fall, but it can winter well. The grapes are tested and can survive minus 25 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's really suited for the northern climates and not something we'd grow down here. The St. Pippin was patented by Elmer Swenson about 1970, and it is a hybrid of the Sauval Blanc crossed with a Minnesota 78, which is a Cybele 1000, also a Rosetta. Is what it's called, that type of grape. These are, you know, technical terms for people out there who are into grapes. And it's amazing how many people come into the winery and are asking me about grapes, too, and what we use and stuff like that. People are interested in this stuff. This particular grape, the St. Pippin, unlike most modern grapes who do not have to be planted, are not male or female. This particular grape has a pistillate, a female pistillate, and needs to be planted next to male vines so that they can achieve pollination, which is unusual. A lot of grapes now, you don't worry about pollination. You can just, you know, plant them in the ground and they're self-pollinating. But the St. Pippin is one that does need to be pollinated. Idovice, you hear this a lot in the colder climates. Idovice is a very winter-hardy grape. It is a cross also with the a grape called the Minnesota 78 and the Ontario grape. The Idovice was developed also by Elmer Swenson in 1980 in cooperation with the University of Minnesota. It is a green grape. To an amber, green to amber color, usually ripening early. It is a good table grape. Idovices can be used for table grape and makes for a good table grape. Clusters are large and rather loose, very heavy, weighing about a pound. Usually clusters aren't that heavy. Early picking of the grape is essential for making the wine, though. Idovice should not be harvested early because it will lose some of its flavoring. The Labrusca, it's a part of the Labrusca family, and if it's picked early, it makes for a very strong taste. And so you have to wait and pick this at the proper time. This variety also is very good in the Minnesota winters, and mulching around the base is encouraged, though. Process when tying the shoots together is almost essential because they break easily, and so it's something that you have to be very very careful with, or else you start breaking off all sorts of shoots. Idovice has a strong resistance to disease, including funguses, and can tolerate to minus 35 degrees temperatures. So that's why we hear the Idovice so often whenever we've been talking about the northern climate. It's makes for a semi-dry wine, white Riesling style semi-dry wine. Rather fruity. I've had Idovice, and it's a nice grape. The Swenson Red. This is something I've never heard of. I guess it's a lot of a Michigan grape. Swenson Red produces large, crisp, high-quality table grapes. The vines need the winter to produce and for winter protection. Like the Idovice, Swenson Red was introduced by Elmer Swenson, hence the name, and the University of Minnesota when he was on staff there. Elmer Swenson worked for the University of Minnesota Horticultural Research Center, so that's why so many of these grapes were invented by him. The Swenson Red seeded grape is classified as one of the highest quality selections produced by Mr. Swenson. It has large clusters, nice flavor, tender skin, crisp taste to it, and all that. It's rather popular grape for that area up there. The Baca Noir are Baca 1, as it's also called by different people, is a hybrid red wine grape produced from across a Vitis vinifera variety, which actually the Feuil Blanche, which is a French grape, and an unknown variety of the Vitis riparia, which is a native grape of North America, the Vitis riparia. I've done programs on grape varieties and grape types before. I think they're still on archives, so if you want some more details of some of these, you can check out the archives and get some more details on some of these grapes. But the Baca Noir is a cross between the Feuil Blanche and an unknown North American species. It was first created by a French wine hybridizer by the name of Maurice Baca. So that's where the name of the grape came from, the Baca Noir, or the one time Baca Noir was commonly grown in France, but by the European Union regulations, the commercial use of hybrid grape varieties is restricted. And I need to check more into that. That sounds like that could be an interesting program in itself, just to follow up on the restrictions and how the European Union has changed the grape growing business in France. Make a note of that, Mike. We need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing that.
That sounds like that might be an interesting program. Is what the EU has done to the industry out there and throughout Europe, huh?
Okay.
That sounds interesting. So,
okay.
But this is European Union is restricted. So in 1951, the variety was brought to the cooler viticultural regions of the United States, such as New York, Michigan, Mississippi, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, those areas. And we haven't covered any of those except Michigan tonight. In New York, there's about 240 acres, or about 375 acres of Baca Noir currently grown. In 1955, the variety was brought to Canada, where the George Colonial variety is commonly used. It's another variety of the Baca Noir. Within Canada, Baca Noir is far more commonly grown in Ontario than British Columbia. And Ontario is just north of the Niagara Falls area in New York and all that. Baca Noir was a victim of the vine pull program in Canada in the early 1980s. We haven't covered Canada too much. Actually, we need to do that after we finish the United States and go through Canada and start covering the wine-growing regions. There are a lot of them up there. But the vine pull program in Canada in the early 80s, what that was there were a few older plots of different varietals throughout Canada, and they yanked them out and replaced them. And Baca Noir was one of them. You can still find some in Canada, but it is not as common. The Baca Noir remains a very commonly produced wine in many Canadian wineries. Notable current examples are the ones made, the Canadian Baca Noir include the Henry of Pelham's and Lakeview Cellars. They make a Baca Noir Reserve. The Baca Noir produces a medium body, deeply tinted, very acidic red wine, which is fruit forward and also carries aromas of black fruits like blackberries and blackcurrant and stuff like that, and with hints of caramel. Aging potential for the Baca Noir is anywhere from 5 to 8 years on average for a good example of this wine. Baca Noir, I've had Baca Noir as blends before. I've never had the Baca Noir as a varietal by itself. It would be interesting. I've had it in blends before, and it's The blends I've had, it was like 70% Banca Noir, and I think it was blended, if I remember correctly, it was blended with a Merlot or a Cab. I'm not sure which. But the Banca Noir really amazingly almost overpowered the other grape, the Cabernet Merlot, whatever it was. Very strong grape, an interesting grape. So the Banca Noir, B-A-C-O-N-O-I-R, Banca Noir. The Landet Noir, also called the Landot, I'm sorry, L-A-N-D-O-T, Landot Noir, also called the Landot 4511. Very strong, vigorous variety, winter hardiness, good up to about minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. A late bud break and early maturity, which is really an important thing in some of these colder climates. You start getting too early of a bud break, you start having problems. Good downy mildew resistance, and it has been used and has been made into some strong varietal wines. Frontenac, F-R-O-N-T-E-N-A-C. Frontenac is a French-American hybrid that is a result of search and crossbreeding by the University of Minnesota. It was first released in 1996, and the wines produce a loose cluster of dark and highly acidic berries. It's used for red wine. It's very resistant to cold and disease, which is great for northern climates. Again, that's why we've been hearing the Frontenac mentioned when we've talked about Maine and Massachusetts and now Michigan and all that. The variety is now most commonly planted grape in Minnesota. It's very popular. So when we do Minnesota next on our states, we're going to be hearing the Frontenac grape quite often. The Frontenac is very cold hardy and has withstood temperatures as low as minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit. It has almost complete immunity to downy mildew, which is a great plus for any of you wine people out there, growers or any wineries. Downy mildew, we all know how that is something we're all concerned about almost all the time, especially with the clusters and the mold that gets in it, and it's very conducive to growing all sorts of mildews and molds and stuff. And the Frontenac itself is almost completely resistant. Frontenac has small blackberries and produces a loose cluster, small blackberries with a loose cluster. The trouble is with the loose cluster, it causes the berries to split. Even in wet years, as a result, berries splitting and bunch rot. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm going backward on this. Because of loose clusters, you don't get too much of a split because it keeps the berries from touching each other. Even in wet years, it's rare to have the berry split in the Frontenac. It produces a lot of grapes, and because of that, cluster thinning is usually done to the grape. It is a vigorous variety, establishes itself very well in the ground very quickly, and it grows well. Typical spacing about 8 feet between the vines, and it ripens mid-season about 10 days after the foch. It is important to let this fruit hang long enough to fully mature in order to produce the acidity to workable levels. Frontenac has good sugar with sugar at 24-25 Brix, which is really good. I mean, Frontenac, that sounds like a great grape. I mean, the more I'm reading about this, the more I'm finding this sounds like a wonderful grape. The wine is typically a pleasant cherry aroma with berry and plum nose, and color is usually garnet red. Malolactic fermentation is essential, it says, to reduce the wine's high acidity. Malolactic fermentation is second fermentation, which burns off the acid. Doesn't say how well it takes to oak or what it does with the oak and all that, which I wish it did, but it doesn't. And St. Croix is another grape that is growing in Michigan. This is a very popular Minnesota wine, and a lot of awards have been awarded to St. Croix grape in the northern areas. Used as one of the main grape varieties in Quebec. The clusters are medium and slightly loose, with berries being small in size and a lighter color. St. Croix ripens in mid-season, and the acidity is moderate, so the grape struggled to make 20 degrees Brix, so it's not like real strong. The 20 degree Brix, because in warmer climates and summer climates such as Missouri, the St. Croix is growing there quite often, and the 20 degree Brix is really pushing it, trying to, in those areas there. The juice is pale rosé color, although the wine can be quite dark, leaving the skin on it for a while. It is very low in tannins, lack of tannins is fairly common with this, and needs to be blended to bring out some of the flavors and stuff. Also, the wine, the St. Croix, says that it has sort of a tobacco-like nose. Although, you know, in cabs and different wines, people look for that type of a nose coming out. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, what you want in it. Fruitier wines from St. Croix grapes are fermented with semi-carbonic maceration techniques. The press run fraction can produce some very good wine. So it's an interesting grape to St. Croix, but something that needs to be worked with to bring out all the possibilities. Concord grape. We all are familiar with the Concord grape, and Concord grape is grown in Michigan a lot. The Concord grape is Vitis labrusca. The Vitis labrusca, also known as the fox grape, because you get this foxy finish, which most people refer to as the finish of it when you make the wine out of it. Skin of the Concord grape is typically a dark blue or purple and covered with a lighter colored bloom you can rub it off. You pick it off the vine, you can just rub it off, and it gives you the color of the grape. If it's a lighter coating to it, it seems to come with the grape. It has what they call a slip skin variety, the Concord. And the slip skin variety means that the skin slips off very easily from the fruit, which is good when you're making jellies and jams and different things and all that. They also used in candies and soft drinks, and grape flavored candies and soft drinks. And it's used a lot in wines, particularly kosher wines. Most of your kosher wines use the Concord grape as the grape variety. It is not used. Well, the foxy finish is something that people notice, the musky type finish. The Concord grape is usually brings out a sweet style wine. Ripeness is usually pretty early in the season. The Concord grape is the one that most people really are quite used to. But those are some of the major grapes that are grown in Michigan. I want to go through those and point those out, because Michigan really does have a large variety of grapes that are available. I was, when I started to look at some of the grapes that Michigan grows, the list just goes on and on. And most of them are grown within the state. Very few of them you find that come out of the state. Most of the wineries have their grapes right there in the state. Michigan has 4 AVAs, American Viticulture Areas, which is very unusual for the size of the state. The Finville AVA is located in Allegan County. It's entirely contained within the larger Lake Michigan Shore AVA. That is another one, the Lake Michigan Shore AVA. The Finville AVA borders Lake Michigan on the west, the Kalamazoo River on the north, a game preserve on the east, and the Black River on the south. The soil in the Finville area is different from the surrounding areas, so that's why it's got its own distinct AVA, the Finville AVA. It's a glacial sandy soil. The temperature and climate is moderated by Lake Michigan. And in a few days in the summer, temperatures can get over 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which is unusual for the state of Michigan. The grapes, Vitis vinifera and the Vitis labrusca grapes, are both grown in this area, Cabernet Franc, Chardonnay. It is about 75,000 acres, this Finville AVA. Like I said, it is within the Lake Michigan Shore AVA, and the Lake Michigan Shore AVA is located in the southwest part of Michigan. It is in the fruit belt of Michigan, the fruit area. It is the oldest modern commercial region, grape region of the state, and the home to a majority of the Michigan vineyards. And over half of the state grape production comes from the Lake Michigan AVA. Vineyards in the region date back as far back as 1867. The AVA boundaries include Finville, which I just told you about, and extend as far as 45 miles inland from the lakeshore. The climate and the glacial moraine soils are pretty much throughout this particular AVA, and the lake effect off of Lake Michigan tends to temper the climates a little bit, giving it a warmer growing season, and actually as much as 2 weeks longer than any other Michigan AVA. So the Lake Michigan Shore AVA does influence quite a bit from Lake Michigan. Total area of this particular AVA, 1,280,000 acres, a rather large area. It was established in 1983 and amended again in 1987 to include a little bit more of an area, going inland a little bit more. It is also, there is the Lilanua, or Lilaneo, I'm not sure if I pronounced this right or not, L-E-E-L-A-N-A-U, Lilanu, Lilanu, AVA. It's Lilanu Peninsula AVA, and this is located in Lilanu County. It includes all of Lilanu County, which forms the peninsula between Lake Michigan on the west and Grand Traverse Bay on the east. It's surrounded by water, which helps moderate the climate and the region. It is generally cold for an AVA. This is a colder one. Frost can occur on all but about 145 days of the year, of the calendar year. So that cuts it down. You'd start looking at that. Gives you not even full 5 months of growing season. The soil on the Lilanu Peninsula is a complex mixture of glacial deposits, clay, sand, loam, and with a top bedrock of granite and limestone. So it's quite a diverse AVA. Total acreage 75,000 acres. And again, a variety of grapes, both vinifera and labrusca, and a lot of fruits and stuff also in the area. And then the last AVA within Michigan is the Old Mission Peninsula AVA. This is located in Grand Traverse County, Michigan, and it extends from Traverse City into the Grand Traverse Bay, ending at Old Mission Point. The peninsula is about 19 miles long and 3 miles wide, or 31 kilometers long, 5 kilometers wide, at its widest point. The climate on this peninsula is moderated by the surrounding waters, helping to keep the frost down during the growing season because it does stick out in the bay. Grape varietals of all sorts of types grow here. The ones that we're so used to Riesling, Chardonnay, Gewurztraminer, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Franc, Merlot do quite well in this area. It is also a very big area for growing cherries and different types of fruit. 7 vineyards in this area, only 5 tasting rooms. Total acreage is 19,200 acres, and it was established in 1987. So those are the AVAs of Michigan. Like I said, quite a few AVAs in Michigan. I talked to Lori Stable from Mackinac Trail Winery. Mackinac Trail Winery is located just north of in the northern peninsula, just north of the Mackinac Strait, Mackinac Trail Bridge, and they have 3 tasting rooms. The fourth one's being opened real soon. They're working on it now, trying to get the thing together so they can open it for this summer. It is a find it here. Hi, Lori, if you're listening, the website is nice, but it says store when you want to find wines. It doesn't say wines, and that it's stored. You think of all accessories and everything. They have a variety of all sorts of different wines, fruit wines. She said that they do 26 different wines. Grape and fruit wines. Yeah, big bunch of them. She said they're out of quite a few now. They're looking at bottling pretty soon here. The stuff getting ready for springtime. They have a big red, a Melange de Rouge, a Pinot Noir. The white wines include what they call a white Ibis, which is a semi-sweet wine. They do a Chardonnay, late harvest Riesling. They also do a Pinot Gris, a Vidal Blanc, a Vignol, fruit wines. Their fruit wines include a strawberry, a cherry, a blackberry, a blueberry, and they also have dessert wines, which include the late harvest Chardonnay and what they call a raspberry, R-A-Z-Z berry, which is a sweet raspberry wine, and a ice wine. She said they didn't do a ice wine this past year, though. It didn't get cold enough fast enough to really get the temperatures down and freeze the grapes on the vine. And she said if you don't pick the grapes at the right time, or if you wait too long waiting for those freeze to come in, she said they all fall to the ground, and then the vineyard is flooded with birds and deer who are just lovingly eating all of their grapes that are on the ground. So she said that this past year they didn't have an opportunity to do an ice wine because it just wasn't cold enough fast enough. The soil in their vineyards is a rocky, loamy soil. She said Traverse City is the big area for wineries. That's where you find a lot of them. But the newest area, the southwest part of the state, is really the newest area for wineries. I asked Lori also about the state and how the state reacts to wineries, help, hinder, ignore. Same questions I try to ask every winery in every state every week. And she said the state of Michigan has been really quite good to them. They've tried to promote it. The state understands and accepts the fact that wineries bring in a lot of money. Wineries do help the state, and since the state is pretty big on tourists, and you know, and I never thought about that before, but Michigan is really a tourist state. The more I started to talk to different people and stuff about this, Michigan relies a lot on tourism. You wouldn't think that a state in that cold of a climate would be really true. You don't think of them as skiing, because there's really, you know, most of the place is pretty flat and swampy and stuff. But Michigan is a big tourist state. And she said, because it is a big tourist state and a lot of money is brought in from the tourists, the state government really does try to do what they can to help, as is every state in the nation now, hurting financially and trying to look at ways to cut back and all that. She said that the agricultural department of the state, as is in every state, the agriculture part of the state is helping. Their signs, and they have a new advertisement coming out, Visit Michigan. And she said there's a special thing on that advertisement that's promoting the wineries during the advertisement, which is cool. I mean, I love to see stuff like that, regardless of what state it is. I love to see the states getting behind and understanding that wineries do bring in money, and it is something that people enjoy. Do you hear me, Florida legislature? So it's something that she said that the state of Michigan has recognized, and she said they're looking at bringing even some more rules, new rules and regulations in this year that can help promote and help the wineries even beyond what they've been doing so far, which is a great thing. I think that's really absolutely fantastic. She says there's not really too much of a hassle with the state. They do what they can to help and do what they can to take care of you. Michigan Trail Winery, always, as whenever I talk to someone, always like to give them a little bit of plug. And Michigan Trail Winery, I keep saying Michigan, it's Mackinac Trail. I apologize. Mackinac Trail. I'm reading the sign here, and it's Mackinac. I keep saying Michigan Trail. I am sorry, Lori. Mackinac Trail. Mackinac Trail Winery. Mackinac Trail Winery. It is located at, the main one, at 103 West Lakeshore Drive in Manistique, Michigan. That's Manistique, Michigan. 49854. Their phone number, if you want to get a hold of them, 906-341-2303. And their email is Stable, Stable, which is their last name, at Mackinac Trail Winery, I guess it's supposed to be. What I'm reading here is hard to decipher, but Mackinac Trail Winery, I believe it is, Mackinac Trail Winery. Their website, www.mackinactrailwinery.com. So give them a call, give them a thing, tell them you heard them on the program, and their wines look great. They the ice wines and stuff like that. But they are located in actually just east of Hiawatha National Forest, right on the water, right at the northern peninsula. One other winery, and I'm talking myself out of time because I covered so much time on the grapes here, but one other winery I do want to talk about, another one I call, was Chateau Chantel Winery. And Chateau Chantel, the reason I call them is because I've had a Chateau Chantel winery, or wine before, a few years ago, and they're located in Traverse City, which is just due west of where Mike is tonight. Chateau Chantel, I've had a wine before. The reason I recall that is because I was working, and one of the girls that worked in the office was named Chantel, so it stuck to me. But Chateau Chantel Winery in Traverse City, a beautiful, gorgeous place, a great big a chateau, basically. I mean, if you go to their website, www.chateauchantel.com, and just a gorgeous place. They have a bed and breakfast. The person I talked to was Mariana, and Mariana ran the bed and breakfast. I asked for information. She said, well, I'll try to do what I can. She said, I'll run the bed and breakfast. And she was really quite helpful. So thank you, Mariana. A very nice place, a beautiful place. She said they are located 12 miles north of Traverse City, between the West Bay and East Bay of Traverse City, right at the end. If you look on the website, there it's just a gorgeous view of the big lake behind them and their beautiful chateau, actually. The wines that they make are really quite diverse. Most of the wineries in Michigan grow their own grapes. This is something that is just, you know, little small vineyards and stuff like that, or they have people that they share with or do different things. But a lot of them do grow their own grapes. Excuse me. The vineyard for Chateau Chantel is developed in Michigan in 1983, and was grafted. The grapes were grafted vines with a vinifera species, and they are from the Bordeaux region of France. They do, Chateau Chantel does have a vineyard in Argentina, though. They have a 55-acre vineyard in Mendoza, Argentina, where they produce a Malbec grape and wine. They also have what they make now, a variety of their wines. What they have is, and I'm getting it here, they do what they call a celebrated, which is a Chardonnay with a splash of red wine and making for a slight rosé, a straight Chardonnay, a fruit forward Chardonnay, one that they call an entice, as their description, as if ice wine wasn't special enough, luscious ice wine made from frozen grapes is fortified with our own grape oak aging. So they have that. They have a 12-pack special. They have a 6-pack special. They have an ice wine that they make served in a wooden box, a Malbec Rosé, a Pinot Blanc, a Pinot Grigio, Proprietor's Reserve Chardonnay, which is oaked, a Riesling 3-pack in a wood box, a Select Harvest Gewurztraminer, Select Harvest Riesling, Semi-Dry Riesling, a Select Harvest Riesling and wine glass combo that they sell, a wine that they call a Tonight, which is a Riesling Chardonnay blend, and I can go on. They've got quite a few different ones here. Let me give you their name and contact information, because I just realized we're getting short on time here. We may do a little bit more Michigan next week before we leave Michigan here, because there's still some areas that and soils and things I want to talk about in the state. But Chateau Chantel, let me give you some information on Chateau Chantel here. They are a phone number. 800 number 8. Oh, I don't know if you heard that or not. Got 90 seconds.
No.
Phone number 800-969-4009 for Chateau Chantel. Email wine@chateauchantel.com and the website www.chateauchantel.com. Give them a call. Tell them that you heard them on All About Wine, and check out their website. It's really a beautiful place there. And so much for Michigan tonight.
Michigan this week?
Thank you, Buster. I think I'm going to cover some more of Michigan next week, since there are so many wineries in Michigan. Amazing number of wineries in Michigan.
Maybe we can have somebody on next week if they're not
tied up
appointment
with
or whatever. Yeah, there we go. What it was. It was something. I forgot what it was.
I can't deny that I have a health payment. Okay.
You're cold. Jump on the jet and come back home.
Yeah, I have to be at work early in the morning. Let's see. Well, so we'll continue a little bit with Michigan next Thursday at 7 p.m., and we'll start on Minnesota, which sounds like a lot is going on in Minnesota. And we're getting into some extra time here. It looks like I might have to run over. Thank you, Ron, as always. It's been informative and entertaining, as I always like to advertise that. And am I on it? Okay, now we're in the archive.
Now we're in the archive, yeah.
Wow, that kind of...
We're going to lose all our live listeners. Everybody's going to start listening to archive just because we go...
Yes. Yeah. It's been pretty cool. I mean, seeing those numbers jump up like that, the archives are like, that's where it's at. And I don't know... Maybe I got to look at the time slot that we're on to. I don't know. I thought 7 p.m. was,
I thought it would work too, but maybe not. Maybe 8.
Daytime. I don't know.
It's interesting. If anybody's out there listening to archives, if it's a better time, email us at corp@fleun.com, corp@fleun.com. Let us know. Mm-hmm. Let us know if there's a better time, something that would be better for you to listen live.
Maybe we'll run a survey or something and see what's a more convenient time. Because, I mean, it would be 8 p.m. here, but then as you go west, their time's going to change, so I don't know. Don't have any events going on, no events going on this weekend at the winery, but for those of you listening in on the archives, I always give the address and phone number and everything at the end, and maybe we should do it at the beginning so we know we get it in there. But Florida States Winery, Ron's home base, Florida States Winery, is way down there in Florida at... 25241 State Road 52. That's 25241 State Road 52, 4 miles west of Interstate 75. If you get off State Road 52, that is exit 285, go west about 4 miles and you'll see the signs, and it'll be a little right turn down the road there. 25241 State Road 52, Land O'Lakes, Florida 34639, or give them a call directly at area code 813-996-2113. Let them know you heard about the winery and you listen to the shows on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. I know they'd love to hear that and know that you're listening. And visit Florida Estates Winery on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Florida Estates Wines. WINES.com, or look them up on Facebook. And they're also on Facebook. We still haven't gotten you on Twitter yet, but I don't know what would you post on Twitter?
I don't know.
Just little 140 character messages, because I think that's what the limit is. But
I think so, yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. I get too wordy. I don't know if I can do 140 less characters. I had trouble shutting up anyway. So 140, really, I don't know, man.
Open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. That's 7 days a week. Workaholics out there, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day except major holidays, and it's really just the major ones. So check them out. And that's Florida State's Winery right here, right there in Florida. they also have world-class wines and a great gift shop and everything, and you definitely want to stop in there and say hi to Ron and Kathy and everybody who's there. So great place to visit, and it's always a great day at Florida State's Winery. Ron, I guess we'll try this again next week. I think we're almost I got to walk out to the jet now.
We'll finish up Michigan next week and go into Minnesota, I think, is the next one.
Okay, sounds good. And I'm looking up the... the European Union restrictions, and I'm finding some stuff, but not too much on that right now.
Really?
There's some regulation. Yeah, but it's mostly like I'm changing the labels, and it was dating back to 2007. So it's probably something that's already been in effect, but maybe they're just cracking down on something different now. But it's something about the labeling, mentioning grapes, and
see if I can go online and find something myself here too. Because they are, there's some rules. I keep hearing things popping in about how the EU has changed different things and all. So, I don't know.
Something, something more recent than what I'm finding right now. But, yeah, I need to go in depth on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll try it again next week and see how everything's
going.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening to the archives. And let us know that you're listening. And, you know, if there's a different time zone you'd like to hear us in. So we'd like to hear that, too. And
have a safe trip back home.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a good one, and good night, everybody, and we'll see you all in 7 days.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, good night. See you, bro.
And we'll talk to you next week, then.